Campus FM presents Talking Eds, a program brought to you by students from the International Masters in Adult Education for Social Change, who are studying currently at the University of Malta.
Hello, I am Preeti and I'll be hosting today's program in which we'll be discussing adult education in Malta. With me in the studio are our panel for today, Professor Peter Mayo, who's the head of Department of Arts, Open Communities and Adult Education. Professor Mayo has written over 100 papers and has been serving as book series editor for many publishers. He also serves on the editorial advisory board of several international journals, including the International Journal of Lifelong Education, Journal of Transformative Education, and Education Philosophy and Theory. From the Talking Ed teams, we have Zainab Saeed and Songhan Jia with us today. Welcome everyone in today's edition of Talking Eds.
Thank you.
Okay, so Professor Mayo, I wanted to ask you, what is the status of adult education in Malta today, and how can adult education serve as a role for social change in Malta?
Well, first of all, thanks for the invitation. I'm honored. Okay, that's a loaded question. I mean, what's the status? It's come a long way. I mean, who am I to say when adult education began? I mean, adult education or adult has been there for years, and it's very difficult to trace, because one of the things you have in adult education is this flexibility, and also it's not easy to identify. You know, there are people who are, say, realize after so many years of doing an activity, carrying out an activity, that, hey, listen, what we're doing is adult education, even though nominally it is not presented as such. So that's very difficult. It's one of the strengths and weaknesses of the field is where do you draw the line as far as adult education is concerned. As far as I think it's come a long way since when I was working for the education, what used to be the Department of Education within the Ministry of Education, the 88. I was a one-person unit. And I happen to be a man, that's why. and now you have a whole team. But we're talking about organized adult education here. I think it's come a long way, primarily, I have to say, because of the EU. Because of our membership in the EU, therefore there's a lot of pressure and there's also a lot of EU influence to develop adult education structures. Now, the EU often uses the term lifelong learning for this. And we can see that it uses lifelong learning mistakenly, in my view, if one look at the real meaning of the word, lifelong, but adult education is not lifelong, it's a particular stage in one's life. However, you know, when you look at, I'm often called on by agencies who do subcontracting for certain divisions within the EU, particularly the Division for Employment, to provide information on statistics, etc. And they're always focusing on the 20 or 25 to 65 age group, and they call that lifelong learning. Now, 25 to 65 is the working age, 20 or 25 to 65. So in other words, that says a lot about the perception, you know, that lifelong learning for the EU is adult education. In fact, they're preferring that term. Now, as you know, lifelong learning, if we look at it from a purely linguistic perspective, I mean, the meaning is lifelong. From pre-cradle or cradle to the grave. I mean, some people would say even beyond the grave, but anyway, I'll leave that for, you know, for a different discussion. Having said that, it's come a long way in terms of now it's recognized as in policy, at least as far as policy documents are concerned. Policy document doesn't mean policy. So you may have a document which is a very important point of reference, but how it gets implemented in the different spaces we have in society is a different issue. That's very, you know, we need a lot of qualitative, I would say, more than statistical research to be able to reveal the extent of adult education. The status is, I think, at the level of policy documents is there. Now, we have now a national lifelong learning strategy, and I've written about this in the local press, also in international journals. I think it's a breath of fresh air because while it does take on the EU agenda, you know, those who play the piper call the tune, it is much broader than simply the usual mantra of employability, which, as you know, does not necessarily mean employment. you can be employable. Doesn't mean you're going to be employed. When you have a crisis within the economic system, rather than say that, listen, we've got a crisis, how are we going to change it? We put the blame on the victim. We say it's your lack of skills. And yet, meanwhile, we have a lot of people gaining more qualifications than their parents did, and yet they cannot reach their or have the same standard of living as their parents, despite having more qualifications. This is a very important phenomenon. This is a very visible phenomenon throughout Europe, in fact. We've had people protesting in many places about this. So, yes, it's come a long way. It's been taken more seriously. I think we're still light years away from what would be a very acceptable form of adult education in Malta. There has always been a lot going on, and it's now being recognized by NGOs. It's been going, as I said earlier on, maybe people themselves who are involved didn't realize that they're involved in adult education. So what's the status today? It still is a Cinderella compared to the rest of the educational system. It still is. And maybe there's some reason, the first thing you have to put in place is the primary education, the early childhood education. Now, I'm not going to dispute that. But we have come a long way, and we're seeing this now also in terms of institutions in higher education. They are under pressure, I would say, conditioned by EU advice to relax the entry points in terms of age, for example, background, etc. What's going to be interesting now is that now that we're evaluating a person's level of education, irrespective of where she or he got the education from, whether it was informal, formal, or non-formal, through prior learning recognition, we have to see now whether the institutions, the established institutions, like, for example, a university, will accept that grading of the person concerned. So I can be graded as being, having the equivalent of a first degree, My level of knowledge is considered to be, at that level, which I've obtained from various sources. However, one has to see whether the university itself will allow me to continue to do a master's without a first degree, because it's okay. You can grade a person, you can recognize the educational level of a person at a certain grade, but that doesn't mean that the institution which has the prestige and the power will necessarily accept that. So when we reach that point, then we can say, okay, we are recognizing different pathways towards learning. If we are recognizing different pathways towards learning, that has implications for adult education. In other words, the different sources of adult education, which are not necessarily formal sources only, but it also includes, they are formal sources, but they're also, most of it is informal. Most of what we learn is outside the school, outside the institutions. Yes. And non-formal, which means it's organ. I'm using the UNESCO classification here, because this is also disputed. It's non-formal means it is organized, but outside the mainstream system. Mm. But it's organized. There's a time, there's a place, whatever. And there's a duration of the program, etc. These are often not separate, because people who go through the non-formal route then want to get their educational accomplishments recognized at a formal level. They probably want to re-enter the formal system, maybe. I mean, probably. I'm not saying every time. Everyone wants to do that, but many of them would. And hence, often the non-formal leads into the formal and vice versa. So they're never separate. So this is a very complex area. So to answer your question, what is the status? It's always a difficult question to answer. In terms of visible structures, I say we've come a long way. But in education, you never arrive. Education is like democracy. It's an ongoing struggle. So there's never a point of arrival. So I cannot say we've reached the optimum. That's impossible when we talk about education. Well, I can only limit myself to saying we've come a long way to when I first started working in the field in 1988 here in Malta. I had just come back from a master's program. I did sociology, but I had a research focus on adult education. It was given lip service. I was just a one-person unit. Come on, that speaks for itself. It was very difficult to get anybody recruited because it always was worse than Cinderella, actually. It was compared to the formal system. Maybe things have changed today. All you have to do is look at the Ministry of Education and Employment. I'm talking about now the formal structures. And the fact that there's a Directorate for Lifelong Learning, which includes a huge chunk of adult education, speaks volumes in that regard, in terms of how, you know, it's come a long way. And we have lots now of people who are very well prepared to work in this field. We've been doing diploma courses, we've been doing specializations within the Bachelor of Education course. We've also had numerous master's degree course from MMed to MA, with practicum, etc. I'm not even mentioning your international master's here. So we have people, I'm talking about the local level, so we have people now, how should I put it, ensconced in positions of policy and also implementation of adult education, which have, I think, the right qualifications to be able to do this.
Yeah, interesting. And I also wanted to ask Zainab and Songhan, we've been living here for 4 months, and we, within the course of adult education, we have a specific focus on social change, and we have talked about social change and adult education in our own context. But what do you think is a social issue now, currently in Malta, and how can adult education be helpful in solving and bringing that social change?
I think for me, I haven't actually been in Malta for quite long, and I don't think I've established like some form of social network with the people. But from the classes that we've been taking, and you know, some of the news that you read and some of the people you interact with, I came to understand that there's a bit of like migration issue in Malta. Mm. So like generally, I don't know if the people are really welcoming to this idea, because when there are lots of migrants coming, there are lots of issues, you know, involved in the country, and especially Malta is a very small country. So some people might feel like the immigrants will like be depressing some of their maybe social services, you know. So I feel that adult education can, you know, help to enlighten, you know, the situation, because migrants are actually coming with, you know, so many problems. And the way I would like to look at migration, this type of migration, which I call unwanted migration, is like some people are really pushed to, you know, leave their countries. That's why you hear them say the boat people who cross, you know, the Mediterranean, you know, on boats, you know, risking their lives, and, you know, some end up being dead. So I don't think it's a favorable choice that people are making, but I see it as a choice that people are making because they don't have a choice. So actually, I see adult education coming in like to enlighten the people like in Malta and the immigrants, that they can work hand in hand to make life better for themselves. For example, from what I've been observing, usually when I walk on the streets, I see a lot of, you know, people, the migrants, especially those coming from Africa, building, you know, you see them in construction. When you go to some shops, you see them as shop assistants, you know, they are helping the Maltese people, you know, in their businesses. So mm-hmm. If people can have that change of paradigm, like to stop seeing maybe the migrants as problem, but as possible contributors to the economy, mm-hmm. probably they might be some kind, I'm not saying the Maltese people are aggressive or something, but because they are not used to this kind of system, maybe they are not really taking it, you know, very well. So I think adult education can have maybe something like this radio program to call in the migrants, because a lot of them also have some skills. Some are experts in certain areas. So maybe speaking to them, you know, communicating with them, asking them the kind of skills or the kind of contribution they hope to give to Malta, maybe there will be some kind of enlightenment.
Yes, I also want to add some point in terms of the immigration. And actually, the first time I feel the racism is when I was in Malta for the first month, and somebody called some very offensive word to me. But as I'm been living here for around 4 months, and I have make some friends with African immigrant, and I think, well, one thing is the Maltese is not really ready for this social change, the migrant. But according to some of my friends from Eritrea and Ethiopia, they said actually they have a lot of option in terms of education. They can go to vocational school, there is a language training, and it's free. And even though there is more things we need to do, like we should listen to them, walk into their community and know what they need. But I think Malta is doing, as compared to what I experienced in Italy, is much better.
Now, at this stage, we can take the opportunity to pause for a moment and gather our thoughts. We'll come after the break. Welcome back after the break. So, Professor Mayo, how do you respond to the comments made by our other panelists?
Adult education, how can it contribute to social change? That's a big question, and I think it can do a lot. I mean, most of my writing has been based on that. And, of course, I would place the migration issue in the forefront right now. It is a very important issue. So it's both for the migrants themselves, but also not all have to be, are not in the same status, in the same situation, have the same status. Some people have to, you know, be beyond, below the radar, so to speak, and they would not be able to come forward easily in a program such as this because of the vulnerability issue. You know, I mean, let's not assume everybody has a voice, you know, in this regard. As a co-national of you said, will this, you know, can the subaltern speak?
Yes.
You know, and basically, I see possibilities, like, and I know things are happening as well. Like, we have these open centers. I always advocated that those open centers can also, part of them can be converted into educational centers, like the Mars Open Center. That was a school once. I taught there. It was a trade school once. For a variety of reasons, for inclusion, primarily. You know, as you said, migrants can be an asset. They can be an asset. They can enrich society. And we have to go beyond stereotypes there as to what a person can do. And also if they are going to be relocated, there should be some work being done there. Like, if you're going to be relocated into a country, let's say, I don't know, very few people want to take migrants despite their commitments to the EU. The EU has this plan to have relocation into different places, but only Malta and another country, I think. I'm not sure which is the other one. I think it's Finland. I'm not sure. I stand to be corrected. Have actually are on course to fulfilling their obligations in this regard. But to have, let's take Finland as a hypothetical case, you know, like, you should have educational programs which will allow people to settle into Finnish society. So some agreement with Finnish cultural institutions to come here and teach the Finnish language, aspects of Finnish culture, aspects of Nordic culture, etc., etc. And also we should have programs which allow people to be included in Maltese society. So that's one thing. But it's more than that. I think it's a general adult education. We want social conviviality here in a, what we would call a multi-ethnic society. Malta has changed tremendously, and it will change even more. We need this kind of interactive. Now, Europe, the European Union, and even before that, the Council of Europe, etc., have been promoting this idea of intercultural education. But of course, we cannot deal with intercultural, you know, intercultural education means people learning from each other, different cultures learning from each other. But we know that whenever dialogue takes place and exchanges take place, they don't take place amongst people who are on an equal footing. There's a power relationship involved. So when we're going to deal with these issues, we have to deal with a very important question. Who speaks, who dialogues with whom, and from which position of power? And I think this is one of the flaws of the intercultural discourse, where the whole issue of power is reduced. The whole situation of being powerless is being sanitized in that respect. And I think this is one of the big challenges. I'm not the only one who's saying this. This has been a main critique of the intercultural discourse in Europe. Having said that, I think we need a lot of work carried out. An interesting case that I came across once was in Catania, nearby, mm-hmm. that is, and you had a former a mayor from the Partito Democratico della Sinistra, which was the former Communist Party, Italian Communist Party, Bianco, who subsequently became Minister of the Interior in Italy. And he had this wonderful idea of turning what is the Italian Communist institution called the Casa del Popolo, the House of the People, into Casa dei Popoli, a House of Peoples. And this was meant to be at a municipal level now, not at a party level, at a municipal level. I mean, the Communist Party had changed its name since then, into a place, in theory, I'm not sure about the practice, in theory, where different people of different cultures come together and exchange. So it's a learning experience, not just for the newly inducted people into Catania society, but also for the so-called autochthonous Canadians. You know, we learn from each other. But of course, there's a power dynamic involved. Who speaks from where, from which position? And I think that is going to be key for so yes, it's great to do have programs of adult education. We need programs on anti-racist education throughout the island. If people are going to really, really, because we know, if we're going to try to stem the tide of racism that we face, and not just Malta, I'm talking about everywhere, you know, like, there has to be work at all levels and amongst professionals as well. Journalists, people, members of the judiciary. I mean, their work is conditioned by perceptions which can be, I don't know, can be, you know, of racial privilege and racial, you know, racial, how should I say, stereotypes and things like that. They all impinge. They all have an effect on your work. So a widespread process of anti-racist education is very important. Of course, it's much easier said than done. This is at the conceptual level. At the practical level, you have all kinds of obstacles. But this is work which has to be done. And I also think that, I once believed that it's one of the sad things about, there are certain parties in Europe which came from a socialist tradition, and the socialist tradition used to be internationalist. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they've turned towards the right in the sense they will not admit it. It's more than just, they look at workers, worker solidarity only in terms of national boundaries. They don't see the situation of work as international. They don't see class as international. They don't even talk about class anymore. You know, it's almost become a taboo. They don't see class as international. They don't see solidarity as international anymore. And, it only leaves you with one response. Then what kind of socialism do you have? National socialism? Well, they would say that we don't use the word socialism anymore. But that has been lost. Because this is a moment now where organizations and political parties have to extend their notion of solidarity beyond national boundaries. But of course, they will not do that because they think in terms of the next election. And 5 years is you need more than 5 years to bring about this change of consciousness amongst people, to create the you need more than 5 years for a change in perspective and consciousness to participate. And that's too long a time for politicians, I think, who are, you know, like, who think in terms of the next election, etc. I don't know if I'm clear about this, but yeah.
Yeah, it's quite clear and interesting. So, Professor Mayo, before we finish our program, any final comments on adult education in Malta? What's the future? What are the challenges ahead?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of, as I was saying before, what the bottom line of what I was saying is that today you have this we always have intersectionality, intersection between one thing and the other. Today you cannot talk about workers and not take into consideration gender and ability, disability, class, race and ethnicity. I would say that social class is also intersects with these elements and including race. So, this is a big challenge now for organizations like trade unions and parties which have the interests of all citizens at heart to also address issues concerning work conditions also from an international perspective. I mean, the group we have in mind are not just the usual autochthonous group. But now you have other people coming in. And as I said, worker solidarity needs to have an international dimension to this. Of course, I will get a lot of criticism. All the brickbats will become coming from the far right in Malta. Don't worry, I love that. You know, like, I enjoy that. I find it amusing at times. That's the things they say. But that's one thing. There needs to be a lot of work on this ground. But, you know, like, this has hit us from 2002 onwards. and because of the blockades in other parts, especially Spain with regard to Morocco, etc. So 2002 is when we have this this through the Central Mediterranean route has ended affected us. Now we have less boat people coming in. There's a secret deal with Italy. We don't know the contents of. I know there's a move to keep, unfortunately, and this is something which is I don't like, keep migrants at bay, out of sight and out of mind, so to speak, just like other deals carried out between the EU and Turkey, for instance. But there's a lot of work going on. My understanding is it's more of a, what the Italians call assistenzialismo, which means like just for you to cope skills, which is important. Maybe we need to go beyond that. You know, we need to go beyond that. I know, for example, the General Workers Union building in Valletta, which is, we're talking about now, the biggest union on the island. I used to go there and monitor certain projects. Lots of projects were taking place with migrants. Lots of projects. And so that's quite interesting. I know there are a lot of even the Lifelong Learning Directory does work with migrants. My understanding is mostly of an assistencialista kind of approach. And maybe the challenge is now migrants as teachers, not just migrants as learners, and therefore migrants as what we call in as you know from philosophy of education, not objects but subjects, action people. People are social actors who can change situation, and then we can talk about social change. Multi-society is changing, and therefore the partakers of this change need more space and need to have more space, so that we will really have not just social we'll have social conviviality based on learning, intercultural learning, which does not avoid, as I said earlier on, the major power issue, who dialogues with whom and from what position of power. That for me is the main mantra.
Thank you, Professor Mayo, for coming here today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yes, I'm afraid that we'll have to leave our discussion for now. Thank you to our panel, Zainab and Songhan. Also, thank you to our technician, Samuel. The Talking Ed series is available online at MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Thank you.